Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We're coming to you live from our massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. It is Aaron for a quick intro this week. Brian and I have been asked quite a few times now if we're going to be at KubeCon and CloudNativeCon EU coming up. And sadly, neither of us will be able to make the trip this year. We certainly wish everyone the best at the event and everyone during this spring conference season. Safe travels to all, and we certainly hope to see you at an event soon. Now, let's move on to our topic for this week. Today, we're talking about integration and observability of third-party APIs and services. As APIs really come front and center, it's only natural that third-party APIs and integrations with services, say Stripe, for instance, will also play a huge role in any organization, and if not properly accounted for, can lead to a potentially big hole in any org's service offerings. It's a really fascinating topic, and we're going to get started right after this quick break.
Are you getting pressure from finance to justify or reduce your cloud bill? CloudZero is the only cloud cost platform loved by engineers and trusted by finance. CloudZero can identify unused, idle, or over-provisioned resources, alert you to spend anomalies, and organize 100% of your spend into a framework that mirrors your business structure, like cost per customer, product feature, or team. It's the most powerful platform ever built to provide accurate, granular visibility into your total cloud spend without the typical pitfalls of legacy cloud cost management tools, like endless tagging or clunky Kubernetes support. Manage cost, optimize development, and maximize profit, all in one platform. Join companies like Rapid7, Drift, and SeatGeek by visiting cloudzero.com/cloudcast to get started. That's cloudzero.com/cloudcast. Visit today to experience immediate and ongoing savings on your cloud bill. And we're back. And Aaron, we are on a streak here, man. A couple of shows together. It's good to be with you. How you been?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's nice to be settling in to the process and settling into a rhythm again and a routine for the year. So, and your world travels are over. I don't have world travels for a couple months, so it'll be good.
Yeah, we're going to get back into some normalcy. We're both, as we've mentioned before, we're in pollen season or sneezing season, as we like to say. So apologies to anybody if a little bit of that bleeds through. We'll do our best to make sure we don't do it. But speaking of sort of, you know, getting back to normal, but getting into some things that we've been wanting to dig into a little bit more. You know, you and I dabble a lot around APIs and, you know, third-party integration with applications. I think we sort of have this fascination with, you know, how companies manage so many both internal applications, but more and more sort of external applications, external APIs, external authentication. And I don't know that we've dug into that as much as we have. And today we're going to get a chance to really kind of dig into what that means and how do you manage it well and how do you think about it. So why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests, because I think we are on a little bit of an accelerated time frame that we'll try and get to maybe a little bit later in the call. But let's dive into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll dive right into the introduction here. So for today, we're going to really be talking about how do you control and really get observability to some extent into third-party APIs, because obviously there's a lot of APIs out there, and we've talked about a good bit about internal APIs, but what about third-party APIs? So for that, we have Eyal Solomon, CEO and co-founder of Lunar Dev. Eyal, how are you, first of all?
Good. Hi, guys. Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let's do just a quick introduction and your background, and then we'll dig into our topic.
Yeah, for sure. So as I said, I'm Eyal, the co-founder of Lunar Dev. I've been in the cybersecurity actually for the past 12 years. This is like the majority of my background. So kind of low level understanding of things, which maybe progressed me to me and my co-founder Roy to the understanding of how we want to solve that problem around API consumption and third-party APIs. But both of our backgrounds is mostly around cybersecurity. I've been an engineer, and then I've gone rogue and went to the dark side of sales and product. And I'll stop it at sales with the dark side. So this is like my background. Yeah.
Yeah, and you are joining us, as folks can probably tell from your accent, joining us from Tel Aviv, from Israel. Is your background also, as many folks over there, have some military background to learn a lot of that security?
Yeah, that's right. So joining you from Tel Aviv, and I've done some background in cybersecurity, cyber operations, actually for close to 10 years. So this is like my strong background coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, today we're going to, like we mentioned, we're going to dive into, kind of a unique aspect of APIs, but third-party APIs. So, you know, for a lot of companies, controlling or managing, you know, external APIs is complicated, but it's a necessity, right? So many, the ways that people are building applications that interact with consumers have, you know, multiple touch points and entry points and data sources, so much is becoming SaaS services. Give us kind of a high level picture of what are the challenges that companies have in terms of managing third party APIs. What do they have to think about? What are their concerns? And then what's the balance they have to have with people saying, look, I want that service, just make it available to me. So give us a big picture of kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so I think that actually the last sentence kind of correlates with the problem itself. I mean, integrating with third-party APIs is as easy as it gets. This is where the economy, the API economy, has led us to. So you just want a service. Instead of developing it yourself as you've done in the old days, now you just need to integrate with a third-party API. You want to have messaging services? Go ahead and integrate with Twilio. You want to have payments? You got Stripe, you got Square, you got PayPal, you got like a bunch of those services. So it became incredibly easy to integrate with third-party APIs. And that's it. Once you're there, it's part of your product, right? Only for the fact that you haven't built that type of capability. You only integrate with a third-party API. So what we've seen companies is actually becoming much more reliant on those third-party APIs. Now the capabilities of those APIs are part of your core infrastructure in a way. So you become reliant, you have business criticality when it comes to the performance and cost and actually availability of those third-party APIs. And there comes one point in time where companies scale in production, and then they start seeing some same problems that they actually didn't encounter back when they're just integrated with that API. I mean, now you're seeing those scaling problems, such as rate limits being bounding you by the volume of API calls that you want to make. Or now you're seeing that maybe you're consuming a lot of APIs, but you basically have no visibility into all of those APIs. And if your company is big and you have multiple teams consuming APIs, there's overlapping potentially between teams consuming the same API, having different contracts for the same API provider. And there's basically lack of visibility to all of your outgoing traffic, your egress traffic, those APIs that you're consuming. So if I need to cluster the type of problems that we've seen companies as they grow, and those are the initial problems that kind of give them the spark of understanding they need to have a proper management to their outbound traffic, it's around the lack of visibility to your outbound traffic, to your egress traffic, and those rate limits that are associated with consumption at scale.
Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense. It is a weird thing. I mean, I feel like we're going through this period of time where, lots of companies are kind of having to deal with a new level of accountability they didn't have before. You know, services are going away or licenses are getting changed. So this feels like it's right in that same wheelhouse of, you built things based on some expected contract or some expected set of services. And now, you really need to rethink or at least have greater awareness of what that is. So appreciate the visibility on that.
Yeah.
And let me add to that just a little bit more. You know, the way I kind of see this is a trade-off, right? Because obviously if you're developing an API, you have full control over it because it's your API. But if it's somebody else's and it's a potentially another service, I mean, as you mentioned, it could be rate limiting that you could hit. It could be maybe you're charged for the amount of calls or maybe even that call, like a Stripe service, it involves charges. And so I see many different ways in which that control is potentially lost, and It kind of reminds me of the early days of cloud, when people would leave instances running and get big, huge bills unexpectedly. And it was became a very quick lesson learned. Is it something similar with APIs now of we're running into some of the big same problems early?
Yeah, so that's like a great analogy. And actually, it's correct. And let me take you... Let me be a bit philosophical over here, and let's talk about the natural progression that is taking place in the last few years. So at first there was on-prem, right? Everyone was on-prem, and then they moved to the cloud. And as you've mentioned, they used a lot of that cloud infrastructure at high scale, only to understand at the end of the month, or maybe at one point of time, that billing is skyrocketing and they're lacking controls of how much they're using that infrastructure. So what has taken place is the companies, maybe the startups, that actually help you optimize on your infrastructure so you can be more efficient and reduce costs, etc. We can think about spot instances as an example. Companies such as Granulate, that helps you optimizing your CPU and your memory for the infrastructure that you're running in the cloud. And then companies, as we know, moved from infrastructure, like from IaaS to PaaS, to platform as a service. And once again, same pattern taking place. They're consuming and they're using those platforms at high scale inefficiently. And then comes in forming those type of startups. They'll help you optimizing and give you that controls and visibility to all of your platforms in a sense. So what I'm trying to convey is that now we're entering that new frontier, which is SaaS. As we said, companies are now becoming much more reliant on third-party API integrations, consuming them in scale, and same patterns begin to emerge. There's a lack of understanding how much you consume, what is the cost associated with it, how I'm getting controls, and in the end of it, what is the optimization that needs to take place so that I can consume much more efficiently in terms of performance and cost. And this is actually what we're trying to relay out there, which means that now there's like this thing called API optimization, only that it's not that trivial as other type of optimization concepts. Because what is API optimization? We can think about optimization when it comes to API consumption, those third-party API consumption. So we can think about optimization around cost and what are companies do in order to reduce the cost on API consumption, caching, throttling. So all of those middleware can be associated with optimization as to cost. We can talk about efficiency. If one API provider is inefficient, or maybe it has an outage, or maybe it has a high latency, do I have the ability to switch over to the other alternative, to the other API provider? So like the load balancing or maybe mitigation between one API provider to the other is also a concept that is associated with API optimization. And also resilience. Think about retries with backoff, with exponential backups. Think about all of those API middleware that sits between the API call and the actual API provider as those type of implementations that we've seen companies doing over and over again across verticals in order to consume more efficiently, to reduce cost and improve resilience and efficiency. So reverting back to your question, this is like the natural progression as we've seen it as well. And the type of problems that you've mentioned around the need to manage your resource in the cloud are now taking place in the form of the APIs that you're consuming and how you can properly manage them.
Yeah. I hadn't necessarily thought about this before. I guess it's interesting we're making the analogy to cloud, because we used to talk about cloud all the time in terms of like, you know, cloud lock-in or will you move from one cloud to another. Are you seeing a lot of people who are, you know, let's say, for example, you know, you mentioned like the payment applications, or, you know, like, oh, we use Twilio for, you know, SMS types of things, or like, do you see a lot of companies that are saying, hey, I have some concerns, or, you know, I want to consider swapping from one to the other? Like, what does that look like? Because there isn't necessarily like, you know, like the Twilio standard isn't sort of the standard for everybody else who delivers some communication service, or the Stripe API isn't replicated by it. Like, is that problem or that concept something that people are kind of actively looking at or actively trying to figure out what would it take to move? Because I'm concerned that Twilio had another, you know, quarter of bad earnings and maybe they're not going to be around for a while. Like, how is that sort of, back out or, you know, fear of lock-in? Is that a real thing in the API world? How do people think about it?
Oh, yeah. So definitely. I mean, I think that the answer to it is, how much are you reliant on that third-party API? How much is that third-party API a business-critical type of integration for you? Which means that if that API has been malfunctioning, goes down, lacking efficiency, you'll need to have an alternative, because if that SLA has been breached, so does your product's SLA. So we've seen companies, as they mature, actually implementing that that maybe mitigation, we can call it, or maybe that switching between alternatives, if they have the ability so. So that always have business continuity. If that API goes down, they'll have another one to switch. I think that that problem can be associated with the API first companies, but it's not that it's not that common, because API first companies such as Twilio are doing an amazing work over the years of making sure that they're resilient and efficient as possible. But the less documented APIs, and the API economy is big, is actually something that we've seen companies try to do those type of operations on their own, because those are APIs that are actually not have availability all of the time. Error rate can go high. So latency can go high. So those are the type of APIs that we've seen companies actually switching between the alternatives. Talking about the payments APIs, it's also an interesting use case that we've heard, because if you want to make like a payment transaction, and that payment transaction came from a region that is not being supported for one specific API provider, then you need to switch that request to the other alternative service that actually supports that type of process payment. So this is like another translation layer that we've seen across the payment APIs. But now, going into that new era of Gen AIs, this is an actual implementations that we've heard our customers and also reading a lot about it out there, the need to switch between LLM APIs, because you might not always need to go to the most expensive API provider out there. It might not make sense to make every API call being made to ChatGPT-4. Maybe you want to have that API call based on the priority of your customer. Like, it's not a VIP customer, so maybe you can make the same API call with the same prompt. It might be less accurate, but you're willing to take that risk, and you will make that API call to the other alternative. Let's say, cloud, or maybe like your internal type of open source API, LLM API provider. So the switching based on the logic of cost and accuracy is something that we actually seen companies trying to implement, making it as a rising need when it comes to LLM APIs.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I actually hadn't really thought about that before, because I guess, on the podcast, we've talked a lot, again, to go back to cloud as the analogy, right? Like, what we're really talking about here is, if you had one of those architecture diagrams, instead of it being all services from one provider, it's, backup services. And it's almost like going across availability zones or going to multi-clouds that are out there. So I can completely see, especially you have geographic limitations, or you have the need to have redundancy on those, or cost considerations. So it makes perfect sense. Now, let me ask you this about Lunar Dev for a second. Is this a solution that then sits in the traffic flow? I think it would have to be able to kind of monitor in and out. And let's talk about that for a little while. Does this potentially introduce latency, or like, how would you think of that in terms of architecture?
Yeah, Aaron, so that's like a great question. And the answer is yes. In order to actually have visibility and controls over your egress traffic, all the traffic that you consume in terms of your APIs, you need to see it in the middle between each API call from your backend to the actual API provider. So the way that we're doing it with Lunar Dev is by a two-component solution. On the one hand, you have the Lunar Interceptors. Those are those thin components that might be an SDK supporting specific languages or an eBPF agent that sits on your backend, your application, and intercepting traffic right before it's being encrypted. The reason Reddit support that we do it before encryption is so that we can have full visibility of that payload, both the headers of that API call and response and the payload of it, aggregating data and metrics. And then only for the selective APIs that you want to manage, those will be wired via the Lunar proxy. The Lunar proxy, or as we call it, the egress controller, is the component that sits in your cloud environment. And over there, all of the policies and logic takes place. So, for example, if you want to employ caching, if you want to do throttling, if you want to have the ability to switch between one API provider to the other, you can just build it as a policy instead of writing it in code, so that from there on, the API call will be made directly to the API provider, and same way with the response. Response will get back from the API provider to the egress controller, and then all the way back to your backend. In order to tackle with traffic, we understood that the solution needs to be in your cloud environment. Because as we know, some API calls are really latency sensitive. You want to have that data in real time. So we do not want to be another another stop in your way, adding latency. So the way that the egress controller is built is actually being deployed as a Docker installation in your cloud environment. And the added latency in that type of operations, once it's in your environment, is actually insignificant. We're adding approximately 4 milliseconds in the P95 by the benchmarks that we're making, which is rather insignificant to most API operations. So this is the way that we managed to both overcome latency issues and also security issues, right? Because API calls will not be made to assess egress proxy, but rather in your personal environment.
Interesting. So one thing I'm also curious about, because I've seen this evolve with quote unquote sort of API gateways, where just kind of the makeup of application teams, platform engineering teams. Have you seen, who do you see these days kind of having to be responsible for this? Because obviously application developers, build their application, think about their services, they've got APIs, but they're not always necessarily thinking about long-term security, or they're not necessarily thinking about, rate limiting in production. What are you seeing sort of as the new interaction between application development teams and whoever's sort of responsible for APIs? Because it's, they're sort of a network service, they're sort of a security service. What are you seeing the new interaction from a team perspective and organizational perspective?
Oh, that's an awesome question. The $1 million question, maybe more so, because it's a new type of category being formed as we've seen it. And when you talk about API gateways, then they've been around for years. We know exactly who's the user of those type of solutions within the company, mostly around the IT and the DevOps. But when you're talking about your API integrations, then let's think about it together. Who's responsible of making those integrations? That is the application developer. And as the company grows in maturity and forms an integration team, then a lot of the time it's the integration team or the integration developer responsible for API integrations. And the problem around API consumption at scale is a problem that is actually associated with those type of people. I mean, the developers, because consuming APIs, it's a business type of logic. It's not an infrastructure type of thing. And the developer that is responsible for the integration is responsible for maintaining that integration. Now, you're correct. Not all developers are that aware of maybe that important for them, the security of those APIs. So that's kind of needs to be the underlying infrastructure to your API operations. What I'm trying to say is that when it comes to enforcing scalability type of problems, such as rate limiting and caching, et cetera, that will be the developers themselves. But when it comes to actually enforcing some kind of a policy enforcement, when it comes to cost or security, there will be someone more from the business side of things. That might be the CISO or the CFO. So there's not a single type of person responsible for API integration, and it actually varies across teams, because a lot of teams are using dozens of APIs. So you need to actually maybe dissect the problem into the fields of interest when it comes to the efficiency of those APIs, when it comes to making sure those APIs will be up and running most efficiently. That's the developer. When it comes to enforcing high-level policies such as security, making sure that no PIIs is being leaked outside in your API calls, making sure that you have a cost budget when it comes to consuming APIs, or you want to consume them more efficiently, then the logic will take place with the business stakeholders of the company.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Thank you for that. So I think actually that is a great stopping point. For anyone that is out there that is interested in digging in and learning more, where do you recommend they go to get started?
So first of all, give me a shout out. Everyone out there that's found interest in what we're doing, want to share their personal problems, I'll be more than interested to hear about it. Part of the reason is that as much problems as there is with specific API integrations and third-party APIs, we're actually utilizing the system better. So we're actually learning by those type of problems people are telling us, how they managed to solve those problems, how managed to bypass them, so we can build dedicated type of flows of solutions for their needs. This is like the concept of Lunar. It's a modular type of solution where you can build your own optimization flows and chains. So feel free to reach out to me either by mail, LinkedIn. And if you want to read more, then we're highly descriptive and highly elaborative on what we're doing in our website, in our blog post. Documentation is out there. We're like building that type of knowledge with the community itself. So we're kind of understanding how you can optimize on specific API providers. What is the right chaining to do so in order to optimize a specific API out there? Do you need to connect caching and then rate limiting? Do you need to have like a threshold when it comes to prioritizing specific API calls between your consumers? So as modular as the system is, so does our documentation. And if you want to read more, feel free to either contact us or just go to the website. Give it a go yourself. The project is open source. You can have a go at it and build your own type of things. And our Discord channel is something that it's also out there. So I think you can connect with us on rather any platform out there.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And we jokingly mentioned that we needed to move this show along a little bit. I don't think it felt rushed at all, but you let us know ahead of time that you and your wife are about to become parents. So congratulations on behalf of Aaron and I and the whole Cloudcast community. That's super exciting, man. Hopefully everything goes well, and parenthood is an amazing experience. So we wish you the best of luck with that.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, with that, y'all, thank you so much for the time today. Aaron, you want to wrap it up and take us home?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And of course, if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. Please leave us a review wherever you can and wherever you get your podcasts. For that, I'm going to close us out for this week, and we will talk to everyone next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.